Part 3. You will hear part of a discussion in which a developer, Faye Manya, and an environmentalist, Peter Green, talk about a new government-run trial. For questions 16 to 20, choose the answer A, B, C, or D, which fits best according to what you hear. You now have 1 minute in which to look at Part 3.
As the global population grows, a greater strain is being put on the planet to provide for humankind. Very often, the struggle to improve standards of living results in having to decide whether to exploit an area of natural beauty for its resources or leave nature alone. Here to discuss the issue of money versus the environment are developer Faye Manya and environmentalist Peter Green. Faye, could you tell us how you can put a price on the environment?
First of all, I'd like to establish a level playing field for this discussion by dispelling the notion that developers are the ruthless, insensitive individuals portrayed in the media. I think that the newly announced government plans to put a price on wildlife clearly shows that developers are now considered responsible, and the idea that developers just want to use nature for their own ends is definitely a thing of the past. The initial trial will involve 6 local authorities putting a price of, say, 40 conservation credits on every 10 homes developed. Each credit could be worth £2,500, making a total of £100,000 to a broker who commissions another landowner to convert fields or scrublands into meadows or woodlands to offset the developed land. The remaining money is then paid to this landowner to maintain wildlife for 2 to 3 decades.
I'm afraid I'm a lot less enthusiastic about the government plan than you are. The plan has been drawn up without sufficient research into the type of artificial environment that would substitute for the site torn up by developers. How, for example, can you think it's acceptable to tear down existing woodland? One would have to wait at least a decade for new woods to grow to be considered a replacement. In fact, it is highly unlikely that any artificial environment will be able to support as many different species as one that has developed naturally. I really feel that the whole idea of creating a new currency in the form of the conservation credit is simply a way for developers to evade planning rules and to gain access to prime greenfield sites so that they can make huge profits.
I think you're missing the point of the proposal trials. We shouldn't need to choose between either improving the environment or growing the economy. We should aim to do both, and these trials should lead to ways of achieving this. And it is not simply a case of satisfying the wants of developers, as you have suggested. It is more a case of meeting needs. There is a parallel in Brazil, where near the town of Carjas, in the middle of the Amazon jungle, lies a vast iron ore mine. From the profits raised, the quality of life for the residents of Rio's favelas, or slum areas, has been improved. 20 years ago, these slums were neglected because they weren't considered important. Now, perhaps because of global attention being drawn to Rio de Janeiro through sporting events, improving the reputation of the city is top of the agenda. It's a case of moving with the times.
But this comes at a cost. Once a specific environment has been developed, there is no going back. Species disappear. England is losing its wildlife at an alarming rate. Every taxa of birds, butterflies and bees has declined by around 40%, and the country has lost 500 species in the last 200 years. With these trials, losses would accelerate substantially. I'm afraid that this system of using conservation credits to destroy invaluable habitats is just a way of turning wildlife into a tradable commodity with complex markets that could be exploited by developers and bankers alike. It would inevitably lead to a lack of transparency, and implementing the trials would mark the start of a slippery slope into the negotiation of numerous murky deals.
I can assure you that everything will be above board. Details will be made available to the public, as they have been in the recent well-publicised deal, in which developers will provide the £5 million so desperately needed to give a fortress used in the Napoleonic Wars a makeover, in return for permits to build a 5-star hotel and 500 houses. The fortress is part of our national heritage, which we developers will help retain for future generations. We're adopting a long-term view, which environmentalists seem incapable of doing. Take what we did in the 1980s, when we transported the earth dug from the Channel Tunnel to an area near the White Cliffs of Dover. Environmentalists criticised the idea at the time in exactly the same way as they are attacking these trials. Now, 3 decades later, the area known as Sapphire Ho Nature Reserve attracts over 100,000 visitors every year.
Now you will hear part 3 again.
As the global population grows, a greater strain is being put on the planet to provide for humankind. Very often, the struggle to improve standards of living results in having to decide whether to exploit an area of natural beauty for its resources or leave nature alone. Here to discuss the issue of money versus the environment are developer Faye Manya and environmentalist Peter Green. Faye, could you tell us how you can put a price on the environment?
First of all, I'd like to establish a level playing field for this discussion by dispelling the notion that developers are the ruthless, insensitive individuals portrayed in the media. I think that the newly announced government plans to put a price on wildlife clearly shows that developers are now considered responsible, and the idea that developers just want to use nature for their own ends is definitely a thing of the past. The initial trial will involve 6 local authorities putting a price of, say, 40 conservation credits on every 10 homes developed. Each credit could be worth £2,500, making a total of £100,000 to a broker who commissions another landowner to convert fields or scrublands into meadows or woodlands to offset the developed land. The remaining money is then paid to this landowner to maintain wildlife for 2 to 3 decades.
I'm afraid I'm a lot less enthusiastic about the government plan than you are. The plan has been drawn up without sufficient research into the type of artificial environment that would substitute for the site torn up by developers. How, for example, can you think it's acceptable to tear down existing woodland? One would have to wait at least a decade for new woods to grow to be considered a replacement. In fact, it is highly unlikely that any artificial environment will be able to support as many different species as one that has developed naturally. I really feel that the whole idea of creating a new currency in the form of the conservation credit is simply a way for developers to evade planning rules and to gain access to prime greenfield sites so that they can make huge profits.
I think you're missing the point of the proposal trials. We shouldn't need to choose between either improving the environment or growing the economy. We should aim to do both, and these trials should lead to ways of achieving this. And it is not simply a case of satisfying the wants of developers, as you have suggested. It is more a case of meeting needs. There is a parallel in Brazil, where near the town of Carjas, in the middle of the Amazon jungle, lies a vast iron ore mine. From the profits raised, the quality of life for the residents of Rio's favelas, or slum areas, has been improved. 20 years ago, these slums were neglected because they weren't considered important. Now, perhaps because of global attention being drawn to Rio de Janeiro through sporting events, improving the reputation of the city is top of the agenda. It's a case of moving with the times.
But this comes at a cost. Once a specific environment has been developed, there is no going back. Species disappear. England is losing its wildlife at an alarming rate. Every taxa of birds, butterflies and bees has declined by around 40%, and the country has lost 500 species in the last 200 years. With these trials, losses would accelerate substantially. I'm afraid that this system of using conservation credits to destroy invaluable habitats is just a way of turning wildlife into a tradable commodity with complex markets that could be exploited by developers and bankers alike. It would inevitably lead to a lack of transparency, and implementing the trials would mark the start of a slippery slope into the negotiation of numerous murky deals.
I can assure you that everything will be above board. Details will be made available to the public, as they have been in the recent well-publicised deal in which developers will provide the £5 million so desperately needed to give a fortress used in the Napoleonic Wars a makeover in return for permits to build a 5-star hotel and 500 houses. The fortress is part of our national heritage, which we developers will help retain for future generations. We're adopting a long-term view, which environmentalists seem incapable of doing. Take what we did in the 1980s, when we transported the earth, dug from the Channel Tunnel to an area near the White Cliffs of Dover. Environmentalists criticised the idea at the time in exactly the same way as they are attacking these trials. Now, 3 decades later, the area known as Sapphire Ho Nature Reserve attracts over 100,000 visitors every year.
That is the end of part 3. Now turn to part 4.